Welcome to the Fleur Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 14th of March, recording at 9:37 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now let's first have a quick look at the highlights here today. In Asia, the big story, of course, sadly, was Japan with the market down quite heavily, 6% on the Nikkei, even more on the second section index. Elsewhere in Asia, the markets were remarkably firm. And, well, I don't know why I said remarkably, but they were firm, as they have been in the last 2 or 3 weeks, moving up off their 200-day moving averages. So we saw gains in really most of Asia, other than Japan. And some of the gains were pretty good, not least in South Korea and also India. In the European stock markets, earlier gains in the mixed activities that we saw positive influence coming from Asia, negative influence then coming in from Wall Street. The European markets closed when Wall Street was trading down near its lows of the day, so we had mostly decliners in Europe. Not huge. Well, I say that DAX was down 1.65%. The IBEX Spanish market was the only gainer I can see on my screen. In the Americas, Wall Street pegged back its losses, but still a down day, down 0.6% on the S&P 500. Mexico and Brazil managed rallies. Brazil up 0.73%. In long-dated government bonds, prices were mostly a little firmer. That was true for JGBs as well. And U.S. Treasuries, an exception, the Eurobund futures were down a little bit. In currencies, the U.S. dollar was mostly weak, and the euro, which had been under pressure at times last week, back up to 139.89 against the greenback. The yen, despite a huge infusion of cash coming from the Bank of Japan, understandably, the yen really is still quite firm, I think unhealthily firm given the Japanese economy, and I can only put that down to some additional repatriation of capital to Japan, given the circumstances there. And in other markets here, crude oil had been down a couple of dollars for both NYMEX and Brent for much of the day, but then recovered that to close pretty much unchanged. And we've got NYMEX, for instance, right now at 101.19, and I think Brent's just over $113. Precious metals, choppy day here. Palladium and platinum and silver down a little bit. Gold had been strong at one stage but gave up most of it, but it's currently at 1428.80, so that's up 240 on the day. And industrial metals mostly firmer. Nickel though was an exception, and then U.S. copper did close down a little bit as well, although the LME copper had shown a small gain at the close. And that's pretty much it, except to say, well, let's say what's going on here overall. Well, markets seem to have sort of lurched from one crisis concern to another. First, we had the uprisings in the Middle East, and they still go on. They have been eclipsed here by the Japan horrific earthquake and tsunami, and that has caused a fair amount of concern here today. regarding the nuclear industry, because the three reactors involved have not passed beyond the danger period. There's still concerns over the cooling of those nuclear those uranium rods. So that has kept the market fairly nervous with I have to say a lot of media focus on this. I guess that's understandable, but it's been accompanied by a fair degree of hyperbole, and that's not just my comment. I think it's probably better to listen to people who are actually specialists in the nuclear industry, and in fairness to the media, a number of them have been interviewed, and they're well, certainly not complacent about the situation. Less alarmist, let's put it that way. But the nuclear miners, sorry, the uranium miners, were hit pretty hard in here today. And I have to say, something I've mentioned before, and particularly in that last of my three broadcasts that I had done for proactive investors on the uranium mining industry, that my main concern was that we would have an accident with some of the older reactors. The Japanese reactors are older. I think they held up amazingly well under the circumstances, given the Black Swan assault that they were hit with. But the chances are that this is at least a medium-term setback for the uranium industry. A lot depends on how the Japanese situation is actually resolved. A best-case scenario would be that they would get the cooling situation under control and then be able to dismantle those reactors in the not-too-distant future. They'd be able to remove the exclusion zone, which is, I think, currently at 20 kilometers in the Japan area affected. And the markets, I think, would look at this and say, well, following the severest of tests that both the reactors, with the help of the technicians working there, had contained the damage. The worst case scenario, though, is that they have to cover up these because of meltdown situation, and that it takes several years before the whole mess can be cleaned up. Now, we don't know how this will play out, and I certainly don't, at any rate, and I don't think anybody really does. But what I fear, and I've had a number of emails on this today, but what I fear will be the case is that, one, the media will continue to have a field day with this, and that's not all bad, but there will be an examination of the risks involved with nuclear power. And even though few countries are contemplating building reactors on sites where at least three of the Earth's tectonic plates converge and create high incidence of earthquake risk and also tsunami risk, nevertheless, that people will debate all this. And that will include the design of these reactors, and it'll include their location, and everybody will want to have their say, and that's the way democracy works. And I think even in the more authoritarian governments, that they will certainly question existing policies and locations, and that will include China, because there are a number of earthquake zones in China as well. Now, again, I think this is something that the industry's technology can solve. and that a pretty high level of safety can be assured, but it may well take time, and therefore, my own feeling is that I'm not tempted to sell my nuclear, sorry, my uranium mining shares following the sharp drop that we saw in here today. But I'm not rushing in to buy more here either, because I think probably we may have to be patient for a while, those who are holding on to these shares. I never sell when I see looks like a climactic sell-off, and technically the action in here on the nuclear miners today was climactic. What else? Well, I'm impressed overall by the relative strength that we have seen in Asia, the rest of Asia, I should say, and that's something that we have forecast following the mean reversions that had occurred. The U.S. market situation, though, does create a headwind because the U.S. markets and the European markets, such as Germany, which fell here today with most of the European contingent, were overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, which represent the medium-term trend, and so they were susceptible to mean reversions, sort of thing that we had seen already in the Asian markets. And I think that this U.S. mean reversion in particular, which will be both sideways to lower, is likely to continue over the next few weeks. And therefore, I would expect more choppy action in these stock markets overall. But it's by no means an entirely bad environment. And indeed, I think most markets have held up pretty well given the situation in the Middle East, the spike in crude oil prices, and now Japan's tragic problems. In terms of currencies, the US dollar is still weaker than I would like to see it, and obviously the market doesn't care what I would like to see, but I'm talking about it in terms of overall stability here. A firmer dollar maintaining, rallying up from current levels and maintaining the ranging that we had seen in recent months, I think would be, well, the absence of a problem would be the same thing as a problem solved, and that would be good. The last thing we want to see is the dollar go into a steeper decline, I think, at this stage. I'm hopeful that that won't happen, but I'd feel better if we saw some upper dynamics just to check this current dollar slide. And the yen, which I mentioned in my introduction, strikes me as being much too strong for the Japanese economy. I think I felt this way before the earthquake and tsunami, and so I feel much more strongly about that this time around. Incidentally, in terms of Japan's stock market overall and its economy, I suspect that this problem will be less severe than the Kobe earthquake back in 1995, which really severely damaged a very important city. And while the loss in human life is tragically considerably higher from last Friday's event, in terms of its industrial impact, it will be lower, although there are obviously ongoing problems such as power and maintaining sufficient power in Japan. Incidentally, Japan actually has 53 nuclear reactors, most of them, and you can see this if you go to Wikipedia and look it up for Japan's nuclear reactors. Most of them are actually positioned on the other side of Japan's islands, in other words, facing China. And 11, I believe, have been shut down. Most of those are okay, but three are still a fairly serious ongoing concern. We hope that's obviously we all hope that that's a problem contained. Okay, what else to mention here? Crude oil, not a problem at the moment, but not low enough to cause investors to get over the current jitters that we see. And I think this current environment, again, choppy market activity, time to be cautious, not to pay up for anything, clearly. And I think only buy on situations that have still strong technical patterns on pullbacks. And I continue to favor fuller money themes, including high yielders on that basis. Let's see what tomorrow brings. All the best.